pray in the Spirit on all occasions.
Prayer is not a mere piece of the covering. It is more, much more than that. Prayer is indelibly woven into each piece of the covering. It is to the armor what oxygen is to the lungs. It is the given, the foundation, the first principle of spiritual warfare. Little wonder, then, that the Apostle Paul urges us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, for to do so is to pray in concert with the will and purposes of God. Only as the Spirit empowers our prayers in accordance with God's will is the covering finally complete. This is the essence of what it means to end our prayers with the word Amen. It is far more significant than simply signing off and saying, "That's all." With Amen, we are in effect saying, "May it be so in accordance with the will of God." It is a marvelous reminder that any discussion on prayer must begin with the understanding that prayer is a means of bringing us into conformity with God's will, not a magic mantra that ensures God's conformity to ours. To pray in the Spirit on all occasions, then, is to recognize the sovereignty of God over every detail of our lives. In effect, it is a way of saying, "Thank God this world is under His control, not mine." In the yielded life, there is great peace in knowing that God has every detail of our lives under control. He will not spare us from trials and temptations, but will use the fiery furnace to purge impurities from our lives. Furthermore, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions is to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of the most amazing aspects of the sword is that it is alive and active, not dead and dull. Indeed, God still speaks today through the mystery of His Word. Thus, with Samuel, we can say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." As we listen, we must also test the spirits. Says John, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Satan's foremost strategy of spiritual seduction is to disguise himself as an angel of enlightenment. His slickest slogan is, "Feel, don't think." God's Spirit, on the other hand, illumines our minds so that we may understand what He has freely given us. Before becoming Christians, reading the Bible was like reading someone else's mail. Now, however, the Scriptures have become 66 love letters from God addressed specifically to us. As Jesus so beautifully expressed it, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Finally, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions means to continually meditate on Scripture. Ultimately, our prayers are only as inspired as our intake of Scripture. Better to read a single passage and meditate on it than to read an entire book of the Bible and never think deeply about it. Scripture feeds meditation, and meditation gives food to our prayers. As Puritan writer William Bridge put it, "Reading without meditation is unfruitful. Meditation without reading is hurtful. To meditate and read without prayer upon both is without blessing." Donald Whitney, who rightly refers to meditation as the missing link between Bible intake and prayer, notes that if there was a secret to George Mueller's prayer life, it was his discovery of the connection between meditation and prayer. Mueller discovered that after meditating on Scripture, he was enabled to more naturally transition into a marvelous time of meaningful prayer.